Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
What really kind of piqued my interest was you've got something called the Crypto Anarchist Manifesto.
I do, it's true.
And this is coming from an individual who, surprisingly, is not hiding behind a pseudonym. It sounds like this person is, you know, right out there with who created this.
Yeah, this is a fact. It was actually written by Timothy C. May in 1988.
Oh, wow. This goes way back.
Yeah, and read at the first gathering of the cypherpunks in Silicon Valley in September of 1992.
Wow, these are like the old school guys that kind of helped create ideas like Bitcoin.
Yeah,
you know?
I have a fascination with the cypherpunks and sort of their idea that technology will bring us the freedom that we desire as sort of, you know, as far as turning the state around, or at least changing it into
making it irrelevant,
or at least turning them into service providers that compete with each other to provide the best products and services. And if you don't like how it's going, you have a choice.
You can opt out.
Right? Yeah, you can opt out or choose a different service provider, that type of a thing.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Through the use of technology, right? So, like, no violent revolution is required. Nobody has to pick up arms.
Just out-develop them.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly. It's the Buckminster quote, right? Instead of fighting what is, create a better way.
Are you familiar with the idea of agorism, Captain
Yes,
Kickass?
Yes. And the way I see things is I see things like the blockchain or Bitcoin, whatever you want to call that technology, I just see that as infrastructure towards agorism.
Now, agorism, we need to define it is, and this may not be the preferred definition, this is just my interpretation of having heard about it over the years and, you know, known plenty of people who've engaged in it, myself having engaged in it. I'm just going to throw out the definition of agorism is the idea of, they call it counter-economics or economics, and the idea is you're doing business in the gray market or in the black market. You're doing business outside of the legal scope, outside of the regulated economy. You're not asking permission for a license. You're not asking permission for an occupancy permit. You're not asking government permission. You're not paying taxes if you can avoid them. You're not, you know, you're not telling the government what kind of money that you're making or what you're doing. You know, you're somehow providing a service to people or a product, and you're satisfying your customers, and you're just not talking to the government about it, basically. And I think most agorists would also add the provision that you have to do it with the intention of undermining the state. Because otherwise, they would define you. If it was just people in the black market, then all drug dealers would be defined as agorists.
Right.
But those people aren't necessarily freedom lovers.
Interactions over networks will be untraceable via extensive rerouting of encrypted packets and tamper-proof boxes.
Which this is 1988 now?
This is,
yeah, oh, okay.
We're into it. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Tamper-proof boxes, which implement cryptographic protocols with nearly perfect assurance against any tampering. Reputations will be of central importance, far more important in dealings than even the credit ratings of today. These developments will alter completely the nature of government regulation, the ability to tax and control economic interactions, the ability to keep information secret, and will even alter the nature of trust and reputation. End of paragraph one. Paragraph two, the technology for this revolution, and it surely will be both a social and economic revolution, has existed in theory.
It would have to be.
Yes. Has existed in theory for the past decade. So this is, we're talking 78.
Yeah, right? Wow. Okay.
The methods are based upon public key encryption, zero-knowledge interactive proof systems, and various software protocols for interaction, authentication, and verification. The focus has until now been on academic conferences in Europe and the U.S., conferences monitored closely by the National Security Agency.
Yeah.
But only recently have computer networks and personal computers attained sufficient speed to make the ideas practically realizable.
They're all about permission.
Yes.
They're all about you coming to them and asking them first, before you do anything. Want to start a business? Make sure you do it the right way. Go on downtown and talk to the city bureaucrats and make sure you've got all your permits. Make sure you got all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, or else you'll get fined and your permit will be denied or revoked or whatever. And then you'll be even more in the poorhouse than ever before.
You didn't ask first, therefore you are a criminal.
But then again, as many have found out, even if you do ask, usually the answer is no. unless you grease the right palms or you pay enough fees or fines or, you know, licensing or whatever. There's always some bureaucrat standing in the way with their hand out.
Yeah, I don't take enough time to stop and be amazed at the technology itself. And it has been under attack since its inception and is continually under attack.
It was
now.
Ignored at its inception, I would say. But it, you know, once it came on the radar, and I would say it was the Silk Road that put it on the radar.
Sure.
Because that was when about we heard about it. And I'm not just saying, well, Free Talk Live heard about it. It's on the radar. No, it was that was the first real life application beyond the guy that sent 10,000 Bitcoins to buy some pizzas.
Yeah.
That's an important footnote in the history of Bitcoin, but it wasn't what really got the government gang's attention.
Right.
It was the idea that someone could use an, a semi-anonymous or pseudonymous form of internet money, this Bitcoin technology, to purchase things that the government really doesn't want you to have.
Most of the things, technology, you know, advancements that we've seen in the last 20 years or so has been a result of the network effect, right? Mm-hmm. So more people getting devices in their hands, faster transmission of data, right? That's really sure. The key to, right, all of the technological advancements we've seen is
and faster processing because, right. You know, encrypting a thing does take some computer time. And it's much faster to do it now than it would have been in 1988. You've probably been waiting hours, if not days, to do the same sort of tasks that can take seconds now.
Right. So these folks in 1988 were imagining, wow, if only this stuff were like 1,000 times faster or 10,000 yeah. times faster. And then that's sort of where this yeah. came in, you know. So the manifesto continues. An anonymous computerized market will even make possible abhorrent markets for assassination and extortion. Various criminal and foreign elements will be active users of, they're calling it CryptoNet here in the mm-hmm. manifesto. But this will not halt the spread of crypto anarchy. Combined with emerging information markets, crypto anarchy will create a liquid market for any and all material which can be put into words and pictures. And just as a seemingly minor invention like barbed wire made possible the fencing off of vast ranches and farms, thus altering forever the concepts of land and property rights in the frontier West, so too will the seemingly minor discovery out of an arcane branch of mathematics come to be the wire clippers which dismantle the barbed wire around intellectual property.
And remember, Bitcoin is, you know, basically the Model T of cryptocurrency.
For the moment.
It's the first,
yeah.
And it was important, and it is important. It's still the number one crypto out there, but will it be number one forever? I mean, we're talking about these important advancements in technology, the printing press. I don't know what year, hundreds of years ago that was, but yeah. It's been a while. The internet, of course, arguably, what, the late 70s, early 80s, well, technically.
The printing press, then radio, then television, yeah. Right? You know, then, I don't know, Citizen Band radio or whatever it was, yeah. You know, that kind
Breaker
of stuff.
1-9.
You know, the original internet, as I call it.
Well, it's certainly an original chat room, right? Like, it's yeah. a party line or whatever.
Well, and, you know, I call it the original internet because I'm old. I'm older than the internet, right? So,
hey, man, I had a CB radio growing up.
Right, and originally on the internet, you had to have a handle, too. Right?
That's true. Way back
just
in the
like
day.
You do on the CB radio, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, that's where that came from. That's how long I've been saying that.
The internet is what would happen if you could hook up the CB's CB networks together, right? Because they were CB radio was short range. You couldn't really get much outside of,
yeah.
you know, your given geographic area with that. So, yeah, those are some of the advancements. And then you look at internet, and then you look at the wide adoption of internet, because internet started in the, you know, between colleges, right? It
right.
was like a technical thing that they were doing. And then it became a real, you know, adopted thing, and it became popular. And then we had all these other things come out of it, including Bitcoin.
One of the benefits of Bitcoin, the blockchain, whatever you want to call this mathematic technology, is that so far, cryptocurrency is, you know, sort of the big thing, right? It's what made it big.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many other inventions and other use cases for this technology that we're seeing emerge. There are already large companies, transportation companies, distribution companies using the blockchain to do all sorts of awesome things like
logistics,
track and manage like the delivery of produce to maintain prime freshness.
Companies like Walmart are involved in
that. Or in the reverse of that, right? Oh, there's like a salmonella outbreak with this certain batch of lettuce, you know, that was shipped out of this state. Well, they can use the blockchain to just sort of go back and go, oh, it originated from here and find out pinpoint and then, you know, sort of take all of those shipments off the shelves much faster and easier than they ever could have before. Mm.
Well, there are other examples of how the blockchain technology, for those that don't know, this is an immutable ledger that is one of the key, beyond the whole crypto aspect of things
imagine,
and the security.
Imagine there's a magic book, right? And you and I both have a copy of the magic book.
Yep.
And whenever somebody makes an entry in this magic book, both books get updated.
That's right.
Now imagine that anybody who wants a copy of this magic book can simply just tap on one of our books and now poof, they also have a copy.
Hey Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
There's a Leo Ledge case that I'm following. They're trying to get it to the Supreme Court. I think the Institute for Justice has picked up on it. But it's the case in Colorado where the guy wasn't even there. Some kid robs a Walmart, a shirt and two belts, and the police, he runs into this house. It's not his. Police destroy the house.
That's right.
Destroy it. It's like a $300.
And they didn't pay anything for it.
Nothing. He went to court, and the judge said, oh, no, it doesn't.
No, no, police are in pursuit. They can destroy anything they want.
Exactly. And so he took the next level of court. So he had four judges. But Ian, I'm going to do this later. I found one of those uploads where there's like 2,900. 100% of the people, of the comments, are saying this is ridiculous. This man, Leo Leck, needs to be made whole again. He needs to be compensated. This is insanity.
Yeah, sorry, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, the idea of justice is just that, right? The idea that if you've harmed another person or their property, that justice equals them being made whole again. And that is not what we have as a system. And near as I can tell, it never has been.
Any of these videos you bring up, it's going to come out like this, where an astounding majority, 97%+ of the comments are people who are saying this is insane.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, I've seen videos of police abuse where there's plenty of commenters who have, and I've never done what you've done, by the way. I've never taken the time to scroll through and figure out what the total amount is or what percentage, but where a fairly large percent, at least at a glance, seem to be like, well, he deserved it. You know, whatever. No, we're not talking about
this. The thing about it is that we have an opportunity. I call this the age of exposure with all this technological capability to disseminate information and so on and so forth. It's doing the same thing as, what is it, the Rasmussen Reports or the Pew Research Center or Zogby International. You're doing the same thing. You're getting a sampling of
It's not scientific sampling. I mean,
not at all. But you do sort of get a feel of the pulse of the opinions of the people. And like I'm saying, in this particular exercise I did, 1,611 people disagreed with this out of a total of 1,635.
Right.
And I was asking the question, how is this for the people? The people are screaming, this is insane. And by the way, if you watch that video, that is a definition of chaos.
Yeah. You know, I got a call from one of those auto calls today on
the robocalls?
The landline. Yeah, the robocalls. And the line was like, you're tougher to get hold of than the last pickle in the pickle jar. When that was the opening line.
Wow.
You know, when you pick up the phone, you're like, hello? Hello? Because it takes a minute.
It
takes a moment before
it
picks up or whatever.
Right? Yeah.
You're tougher to get hold of than the last pickle in the pickle jar. And I'm like, And then I noticed that, this is...
It's not even a real person.
Yeah, it's not a real... And then you start talking back and there's no pause, there's no response.
Yeah.
But every now and then, there's one of these pre-recorded, almost like soundboards. Have you ever had one of the soundboard callers call you?
No.
Where what's happening is they have an operator... But for whatever reason why, the operator isn't allowed to talk to you. They have a preset amount of responses that they can like press a button and have the soundboard say a thing to you in response to what you said.
I wonder if that's because they're not in an English-speaking area.
Could be. But the tour, they could understand the English, but they don't. They can't speak it very well.
Yeah.
And so they want to have the person on the phone, you know, the voice that you're hearing sound English.
I could see that happening in like a telemarketing environment too, where like these are the only approved phrases that you can use on the call.
He's still plugging himself too. Amazon is an incredible service.
It is.
I mean, there's probably a ton of people who listen to the show. I am one of them who uses Amazon.
Oh, I did when I moved. Oh my gosh, because I sold my car and then I moved and I didn't have a car for a little while. Like Amazon was there for me.
Right. Delivering the things you needed.
Right to my doorstep, you know.
2-day delivery or whatever.
Almost anything. I mean, I got certain grocery items, you know what I mean? All my toiletries, you know, next day, right? I was on the Prime or whatever, right? So 2 days max.
Boom.
You know, I ordered a bed off Amazon, a frame and a mattress. Right, you know, nice one too. You know, memory foam style.
Right.
Nice, all metal. You know, that kind of thing.
Sealed up and vacuum sealed, and you open it up.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be a commercial for Amazon, so I'll stop there.
Well, we're not going to be promoting them here in a moment. But right. I mean, look, I want to give credit where credit's due. I mean, this guy's done some amazing stuff, and he's gotten rich, and rightfully so because of it. Unfortunately,
and the longer time goes on, the more he looks like Lex Luthor.
That's what somebody said in the Discord chat room, and that's where this article was posted, suggesting that he really does kind of look like, you know, the old Superman villain Lex Luthor. He's got a ton of money. He's got connections big time to the U.S. government, and that's one of the reasons why Amazon has sort of become this evil thing.
Is this about the ring thing?
This is about him just sort of yammering about tech companies not supporting the Pentagon. Going on, as Silicon Valley courts a closer relationship with the Pentagon, tech firms have faced backlash for pursuing lucrative Defense Department contracts. Last year, Google announced it was working with the U.S. military to analyze drone videos by using artificial intelligence. Remember, Google did get rid of their slogan that was, "Don't be evil."
They got rid of it?
Yeah, they got
rid
of it. Well,
of course they did because, well, they can't live up to it.
Right. The controversial contract, dubbed Project Maven, caused thousands of employees to protest the initiative. In the wake of the firestorm, Google decided not to renew the contract upon its expiration in March of 2019.
Hmm.
Loosely referencing the sequence of events in the wake of Google's Project Maven, Bezos said that the tech firms should support the U.S. military's efforts. He says, quote, "I know it's complicated. But you know, do you want a strong national defense or don't you? I think you do. So we have to support that. We are the good guys. I really do believe that."
Wow.
I mean, how many innocent, peaceful people need to be slaughtered?
I feel ill just having heard you read that.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
We can all agree that people who own big corporations and own big businesses, obviously they're all in it for themselves. They don't care about anybody else. I mean, for example, Elon Musk, he owned Tesla, and all he did was sit in his house and do acid all day. That's all he did. So I guess my
question
is,
when did he stop doing the acid?
Oh, no, he hasn't stopped.
Okay. Well, I mean, dude has come up with some pretty good ideas, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's a great guy.
I mean, Steve Jobs did some acid, too, and I think he described it as one of the most important experiences, like the top three important formative experiences in his life.
To be fair to the caller, the new Tesla truck though does look like it was designed by a guy on acid.
Now, Carbon, look, I don't disagree necessarily with some of kind of the intention of what you're saying, but on the other hand, you know, the only way these guys can actually make money is by giving people what they want.
Yeah.
I mean, Amazon didn't rise up on the back of the government. Amazon became, you know, the king by giving the people what they want. And then when they became large enough, they started serving government contracts. And now they're completely enamored by the state. And it's tragic. But, you know, if they didn't give people good deals on books and CDs back in the late 90s and the early aughts, they'd have never gone anywhere.
Do you watch the wrestling, the WWE, any of that kind of thing?
Yeah, I've seen it before.
Okay, so
wait, are you suggesting that that's more popular in the South?
I am.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact. So my question to you is, you know how like there's always like two different factions. There's like the good guys and the bad
guys.
And
the heels, right?
Right. And then sometimes the wrestlers will jump from one side to the other. They'll be a good guy for a while, and then they'll be a bad guy for a while. But like when you watch the behind the scenes videos and all that stuff, they're all just really good friends together, and it's just a big act. Well, do you think that that in any way also represents government?
You know, to be honest with you, for the longest time, I had this theory that that Trump and Hillary were actually just best friends and they were just putting on this entire show. But, you know, I don't know.
Well, there is a picture of them together at a party, right?
There's several of them, actually, from what I've seen.
The early aughts or something. So, I mean, if they're not friends now, they were at least friendly in the past. But then again, all politics is, a bunch of scumbag, sociopath, psychopath, nut jobs scratching each other's back and then stabbing each other in the back when they get the chance. So if they look like they're friends, it may not necessarily be the case. So
and there's also a negative side to politics, too.
It's all negative, isn't it?
Ian, you had said something that at least I think, like, okay, let him get reelected because at least he's fun to talk about because he's just nuts. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And I could definitely see that. You look at his Twitter feed, it's good for a laugh and everything. But I think there is a dark side to this whole Trump era. And just one aspect in particular is hate crimes have risen exponentially since he's gone into office.
Really? Do you have some statistics about that? Because that's I'm curious.
Even if you just Google Trump rise in hate crimes, it'll take you to a bunch of stuff. But one in particular, there was a study by University of North Texas, I think it was, that found significant spikes north of 200% in counties where he had campaign rallies.
Nope.
Where counties that didn't have these rallies didn't have these spikes.
And so who's victimizing who in this case? Is it the Trump supporters victimizing the anti-Trumpers or the reverse or both or what?
It tends to be mostly Trump supporters going after Hispanic people.
Oh, no.
Is what has seen the biggest rise.
And, so
of course, correlation does not automatically mean causation, of course.
Yeah.
I had talked before about the needle exchange program, Aberdeen, Washington, Kurt Cobain town.
Yeah.
And I think Captain Kickass spent some time in Seattle. I don't know how long, but he's kind of familiar with the problem.
20
in
years?
That area.
22 years, man. Yeah.
Oh, so you're okay. So my just briefly, my favorite Seattle gig is the Beatniks, and I used to change the guy, the front guy that plays the guitar. I used to change his oil, and he's just a really great construction working kind of guy. But
nice.
I always thought that was a really great, great band. But
so
anyway,
Cobain came from Aberdeen. That was his hometown.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where he grew up and went to, and then he went to Seattle. He was not there, you know. Well, I guess I don't know. I'm too old for him. But anyway, so. We had 2 out of 3 county commissioners in Grace Harbor County that voted to extend the needle exchange program. And I talked before about this motorhome they brought up that was used. They bought from a private party. And they just discussed this on the radio. A brand new county commissioner gave me all these numbers. And then when I kind of dug into it a little bit, it turned out they somehow or another bought it 25 years ago. But they brought this story up on the radio just 2 months ago. And I was a little confused. But the one county commissioner that did not vote for this exchange program came on the air at KBKW recently and stated that the reason he voted against it was we were giving out an extraordinary amount of needles pound for pound to other cities, more than even in Seattle, in Aberdeen. And I got nothing against these needles, but they're literally making – the needles are free to begin with, but for some reason they've gotten a $52,000 grant out of the general fund to redo this program, and I think that's taxpayer dollars that are really not too keen.
Hold on. When you said the needles are free – who's paying for the needles?
The government provides the Donald Trump.
Oh, those aren't free needles.
Yeah,
that means
it's taxpayers. Money. Yeah.
Well, so wait, it's federal?
The needles are they're given to the feds. Give them the product.
Interesting. I didn't know there was a federal needle subsidy or needle exchange.
No. The feds just they just provide the paraphernalia for the counties to. So in other words, they get free stuff to give away. And then they get a $52,000 grant for 2 years to put gas in the motorhome, buy coffee, and sit out there and pay a couple people to hand out these boxes of needles.
Wow. And then what you said was the needles are ending up in the hands of drug dealers who are...
And they're being loaded with small dollar increments of heroin ready to go. And then the person that did all this gets to run around and get these $5 and $10 needles sold and then keep himself... It's absolutely... to me, it is inhumane. And I think this, I'll get out of here real quick, let somebody else
well,
get
before
on
you, before you go on, the idea of a needle exchange, at least in theory, is that it is a harm reduction aspect, meaning that, you know, needle yeah. users aren't particularly known for being real careful about who they, you know, sharing needles can result in all kinds of infectious
but
diseases.
They're not using 100 needles, and no. it's just becoming a racket, and the people are getting paid.
Yeah, it's a total scam. The best way to manage a thing like this is to take it out of the hands of the state and allow the people who actually care, because the people running the state, they're human beings. But when they're in their job as a state bureaucrat or a government or federal bureaucrat or whatever, there's just some kind of a disconnect that happens.
The disconnect is the lack of incentive, right? Because they're getting paid now to go do a job that is mandated, right? Rather than doing the right thing because they actually care. They don't have the incentive. As soon as the state gets involved, the incentive goes away it goes the wrong way. They're now incented to maintain their own job.
We need to keep that grant coming.
Got to keep that grant money coming. And so they do what, instead of doing the right thing for the people because they care about the predicament and the plight that these people are in and they want to do something to help them, the incentive just goes backwards. And that's why it always fails.
Yeah, it's tragic, too, because, I mean, we're talking about people's lives here hanging in the balance. And the ideal situation for a needle exchange would be to say, all right, well, if you support a needle exchange, then here's how you can donate to it. If you want to be part of the needle exchange, here's how you can donate your time. Here's how you can donate money. And then if the people of Aberdeen actually do value having this particular service, then they will contribute to it.
Well, I was listening on the way home about the needle thing you got conversation.
Yeah.
And, I have two older brothers. My oldest brother passed away, drug involved activity, but my second brother passed away from an overdose of it wasn't heroin, it was methamphetamine, but I am intimately in touch with the whole issue, so I can speak to it from the inside,
sure.
I guess you could say.
So yeah, go ahead.
My brothers on their end, those guys didn't want help, so no matter what the government, state, federal, good-hearted church folk, people in, you know, whatever, want to help these guys. If they don't want it, all they're going to do is use your money, and take it. And they're going to keep taking. And I agree with the guy earlier who alluded to the government. I don't think you said sanctioning, but kind of like that. I totally agree. You're at least enabling. The state, the feds are enabling it, and they're not going to stop as long as you let them do it. Give them a source. You know what I mean? Like the source being free needles. So I think it's a bad idea all the way around.
It's like they're providing the tools, right?
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.